Hey guys,
I'm Hallie,
and I'm Jamie,
and this is Literal Nonsense.
Hey guys.
Hi.
We are finishing up this first, I don't know, it's like not the first book in the series, but it's like...
the origin story!
Yeah, the prequel, whatever.
The prequel to the prequel.
Whatever. It's the second half of A Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. We're really doing part three, so I guess it's like the third part of the book?
We're actually like really confusing.
I know. Well, I feel like splitting it in parts is good. But I also feel like these didn't warrant, like, three episodes each. Like, each book has three parts, but it's, like...
Yeah, and I honestly could and might argue...
Well, one episode per book?
Yeah.
I just feel like, last time, we were, like, going off.
This is true. There's gonna be tangents. See, that's what I don't factor in.
Right.
I just think of content.
Right, if you're just, like, talking about it, fine.
Yeah.
But,
we're not robots.
Right. Yeah, we tangent quite a bit. This episode is going to be on part three of The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. It's called The Peacekeeper, and it is chapters 21. There's, of course, an epilogue always, but let's just not count the epilogue. The chapters are also long, which I don't know how I feel about, but we'll get there. 21 through 30... And it is pages 323 through 517, depending on, like, which copy you have. But off we go. So we ended off, and our boy Corio is just being shipped off to be a peacekeeper in District 12.
Okay, but, like, imagine the immense shame he must feel.
But, like, okay, so we're already going back into this. Like, does he feel shame, or is he just, like...
Or do you think he's just embarrassed?
Embarrassed, but I think also he's, like, cool. Like,
I'm not a part of this anymore.
I'm not, like, in trouble. Like, almost like I still got away with one.
Hmm.
You know, like, he's not dead. Poof. Yeah. Right.
Barely made that one.
So, I don't know how he... And this, I feel like this part is, like, when he really starts getting, like... Like, he becomes obvious and, like,
who he is.
Yeah. So, he's going to District 12, which I think that part's interesting, because it's, like, he is going after Lucy Gray, but is it because he loves, like, there's no other motivation right now, so why else would he go after her?
Because I think that was, like, the one thing that was, like, going well in his life.
Okay.
And so, I feel like he feels like that door is kind of still open.
So, he's, like,
I think he's also maybe confused about, like, do I love this girl or not?
Yeah, right now, I think he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Like, if it's love or control or...
But, like, some people would argue that, like, sociopaths can't feel love.
I don't know if he's a sociopath or just a narcissist.
I don't know, because...
I think narcissists feel love.
Well, besides the point, but, like, I think knowing what I know from the other books, like, now I would argue that it's giving sociopath. Just a little.
Okay. Or did he, like, slowly become that way?
Nature versus nurture.
Again, yeah, like, right. Is the President Snow that we meet in the trilogy, is that because he was molded into that, or has that always been him? Which I think is kind of what this book is posing that question.
You, like, don't know.
So, like, he goes to District 12. I feel like that also almost fuels his ego or narcissism, because he's, like, really good at being a peacekeeper because they've had all this, like, kind of, like... fitnessy type training.
Yeah.
Like, he's great at what he's doing, which I think almost, like, adds to his, I don't know, view of himself. Like, I am the best of the best.
But, like, also, it was drilled into his head that Snow lands on top.
Right.
So, like, that was, like, bred into him.
And that's the thing, too. I think, like, even though he's, like, almost... shame and made a peacekeeper and all these things, I feel like he's, like, somehow to preserve his narcissism
mm-hmm.
is like, oh, but I'm the best at this, so this is actually in my favor. Like, he, like, mm-hmm. always can spin it where it's like,
yeah,
I am the best, or whatever.
This is true.
So that's interesting as well, that he's like, oh, well, like, whatever. Like, he's not upset about the situation, per se. He's just like, oh, this is actually my benefit. I can be the best of the best, and, like, I'll still figure out a way to, like, get back, kinda.
Well, yeah, and that becomes prevalent when he finds out that he could be promoted to,
like, other districts, and there's, like, I forget, like, what it's called.
But like, he's, like, higher ranking.
Like, an officer.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I think also what I really like about this part of the book, aside for his, like, his own psychopathology, is I really think Sejanus is, like, needed in this part of the book.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he was brought back into this part of the book, because I think, like, there's such, like, opposing forces.
Yeah.
That it's almost like he needed to somehow be roped into this. So Sejanus also volunteers to be a peacekeeper, comes to 12, mainly because, like, Corio's his best friend, but also, like, he doesn't agree with all the corruption in the capital.
Yeah.
So a way different reason, but, like, a creative way to, like, get this character back into play.
Mm-hmm.
So once he's there, I feel like that's when things really start moving, grooving, rolling.
Well, yeah, because I think, like, Snow, Corio was, you know, like, getting into the groove of being in 12 and, like, being a peacekeeper XYZ. And he had his plan to meet Lucy Gray, like, on the weekend, and, like, all this stuff, all the wheels are turning, then all of a sudden, he's like, great, the guy who caused me all this trouble in the Capitol is now here.
But he is also fond of him.
I know. It's...
like, he's happy, he's like a comfort.
Yeah, but he's very backhanded about it, because he'll, like, say he, like, oh, he is a friend, but then, like, Sejanus is so stupid, like, he just shut up. Like, right. I think, but it's not like, oh, you're so silly, you know?
No, he's, like, genuinely mean.
Yeah, he's, like, that guy's a fucking idiot.
Right, and so...
and it's always, and now it's gonna reflect poorly on me. You know, yes. Like, he always spins it back to, well, now, as if that has anything to do with him.
Right,
but it does.
You are with, like, who you hang out with kind of thing.
Yes, but, like, the Capitol is so fucked up. And if you think about,
like, he's actually the more righteous one, Sejanus.
Yeah.
But Corio just cares about his image and power. So yeah. He's like, that's his thing. Is it's, I don't care if the power system is corrupt as long as I'm also in power and I can work the system. Doesn't matter what the power system is, yeah. I just want it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's like a weasel.
Mm-hmm. And so really the only two plot points of this part of the book is Sejanus comes and he is kind of, not like a rebel, I wouldn't say, but he's trying to, like, dismantle things still. Like, he's, like, still, like, disagreeing with things, having a hard time, like, wants to, like, run away, like, things like that. And then also we have Corio and Lucy Gray, like, outside of the arena and, like, that romance. I think those are, like, really the only two plot points, but again, we're going to talk more about, like, just, like, the pathology of those two things.
At this point, yeah.
And so, I mean, really, I think pretty quickly Sejanus starts, like, being like, hey, like, I still don't agree with this, and he starts kind of rebel sympathizing. Like, pretty quickly.
Yeah, like, almost immediately.
Yeah.
Because they were one night at, is it the Hob?
Right. Yeah, like, they, like, so that's how he originally finds Lucy Gray again, is she's, like, playing music at the Hob.
Yeah.
And, like, they, like, rekindle immediately, they're, like, dating.
Yeah, and, but there's a part, I think, at that moment, the first night, that Sejanus goes off, right?
Yeah, and, like, slips out, and he's talking to, like, Lucy Gray's, like, ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to, like, escape, and, like, it's corrupt and whatever.
Yeah.
But again, Snow's reaction to that is crazy.
But, like, how does that even happen? You know, like,
I don't think
you know what I mean?
Premeditated. I think, like, Sejanus just, like...
do you think he just stumbled upon that?
Kind of, but I think you probably can also realistically tell who's kind of, like, a rebel.
You think?
Probably. I don't know.
But do you think...
I think like finds like, which we'll talk about as the series goes on.
Mm-hmm.
as we start seeing, like, all the allies and stuff in the future books and, like, who's part of the rebellion, like, I think you kind of just can tell who's, like...
Yeah, I guess.
Their mindset is, like, damn, this isn't fair. And I think it starts there, then usually they're having, you know, drastic ideas of how to make it fair. So, I don't really know how he gets involved with that guy, but I feel like, whatever, like...
Whatever. It was just, obviously...
Interesting.
For the plot.
Right, exactly. And I don't mind that not being, like, overly explained, you know?
Well, because, yeah, and being that he's, like, the only, like, decent person.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting how it's a district person.
Right.
Who's the decent one.
Agreed.
Like, no, I don't want to say, like, ethical, but, yeah.
Kinda. And that's what I think, so Janus, so, like, basically his whole thing that he starts talking to, is it, like, Billy Top? What the fuck's his name? Lucy Gray's ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, I was just trying to find that.
Like, I forget how they start talking, whatever, but the plan basically is he wants to, like, bail this lady out of jail and they're all going to escape into the wilderness.
Yeah, which also, like, children, like, what are we thinking?
I think they're just almost like, we're not going to, like, rebel and, like, have this, like, outward rebelling, but at the same time, like, we just want to escape. Like, that's the James's thing, too. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they would have, like, enough manpower, et cetera, to, like, rebel and have this whole uprising, but he's like, I just can't do this anymore. I gotta just get away from it.
Yeah.
I'll go live in the woods. Which, fine, mm-hmm. but, like, they would get killed for doing that. And so, once Corio finds out that Sejanus is doing this, he's, like, again, all about himself.
Yeah, he's like, fuck, well, now I have to save my ass. Which, like, kind of, yeah.
But, like, I would just be like, don't talk to me anymore. I have nothing to do with this.
I mean...
But, again, it's all that narcissistic, like, it's about me.
He would never say that.
Right. And so, it really all, like, comes to shit, basically, when... They're, like, meeting up with that guy.
It does go to shit, like, pretty quickly.
So quickly. Because this, like, section really isn't that big, honestly, for all this to happen. And so they're meeting up with, like, Lucy Gray's ex, and he's, like, you know, kind of, like, hooking up with the mayor's daughter or whatever. And she catches them, and fucking Corio just shoots the mayor's daughter.
Okay, yeah, so...
That's crazy. Like, he doesn't... That's what I'm saying. He's all about self-preservation. He says that. He's like, I shot her because she was gonna, like... tell on all of us that it was, like, kind of, like, again, like, rebel sympathizing, and the fact that I was seen with her would fuck me over. That's crazy. Like, he was like, so she has to die. See ya. I'm like, damn, this dude is fucking cold-hearted. But also, so in that, like, altercation of Corio shooting the mayor's daughter, Billy Tope also dies, so they're like, oh, we'll kind of frame it like a murder-suicide, like, just like a kerfuffle. And, like, Corio's only worry there is, like, the guns being found. Like, he's like, oh, like, I'm waiting for their shoe to drop kind of thing.
Okay, well, yes. Well, what's crazy is that they get guns because of Sejanus.
Right, right.
Like, he's all about, like, peace and whatever and let's not do this. But he comes from a munitions district. It's
But I also think like, he... I don't know. I wouldn't argue he's about peace. I would argue that he's about righteousness. Like,
think?
So... He's like, if we need to have guns to, like, survive in the wild, like, I will steal them. Or, like, he'll do corrupt things if it's righteous.
Mm.
But it has to be, like, worth it.
He has a martyr complex.
Which I don't hate, like, that as an overall
vibe. Well, you almost need it.
Right.
Because we can get, like, so torn off path with, like, how Corio thinks.
Correct.
You know?
And, like, like, whereas Corio will do immoral things... all for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So Janus potentially does immoral things, but always for, like, the righteous cause. I just feel like their two characters almost both, like, don't mind doing immoral things, but for different reasons completely.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it's, like, cool to have, like, Sejanus brought into this part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, now where Corio's freaking out, like, he's gonna get caught and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's because, again, like, what's gonna happen to me... Whereas Sejanus is like, if I get caught, like, I die being myself kind of thing.
Yeah, this is true.
Corio will change his face no matter what, as long as he, like, survives.
Well, yeah, because he talks shit about Sejanus to, Dr. Gall.
Right.
But then, like, he's also in Sejanus' face, like, yeah, you know, you are my friend. Oh, I'm looking out for you. Like...
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then when Sejanus is still talking about, like, rebellion, sympathizing, all this stuff... Corio, like, and the way it's written, too, is crazy. Like, he makes this choice, like, record him, because they're collecting
oh my God.
The Jabberjays and the Mockingjays.
That
so
was fucked.
So he records the genius with these birds, and he knows the birds are being sent to the capital, and he's like, he's rebel sympathizing. So, like, hopefully someone hears it and they handle this, and they'll know it was me because, like, Sejanus kind of references, like, who he's speaking to.
Yeah, but he also mentions that, like, Dr. Gall will realize that it's him.
Yeah.
Because she realizes his style or something like that,
yeah.
She says.
Right.
Or he says.
Which is crazy. Which is crazy. And so, but, like, the way it was written, too, like I said, I remember a distinct part where it said, like, I didn't even think about it, I just hit record. And so then, again, now he's kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. He does feel a little guilty about it.
Yeah.
Fine.
But I think also, too, a big factor at play here is that what it comes down to is, you know, yes, he's a narcissist and whatever, he likes power, but I think it also just comes down to hate. Like, he hates the people from the districts because they caused a war that killed his father,
right,
and in turn killed his mother,
right,
and left them basically starving.
Right.
And they had to watch their neighbors eat their maids, you know, like...
Right, right. Yeah, I think that it runs deep for him, and he can't see them as people.
Yeah, and I think...
Like, he, like, dissociates from that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that might be, like, a certain undertaking that Suzanne Collins is trying to...
Right, I would agree with that.
Because she also kind of... It also kind of sounds that way for Sunrise.
Agreed. Yeah, we'll talk more about that, obviously, in Sunrise, because I think she has a lot of undertones. More so in these two prequels than even, like, the main trilogy.
Well,
I think she really gets her, like, wind.
I would argue that, like, the initial trilogy is young adult, but these two,
have more undertones.
Songbirds and Sunrise, like, yeah, they're YA, they're young adult, but they're
for
the adults, you know?
There's a lot of, like, undertone psychological things.
Yeah.
And so, long story short, he's still, like, just, like, hanging out with Lucy Gray, but then all of a sudden,
he acts like this, and he's like, oh, I can't wait to go see, like, Lucy Gray, and
I think
give her my scarf.
Right. I don't think he knows what he feels for her and, like, what it is. You know what I'm saying?
It's almost like he becomes a different person when he's around her.
I can see that. I would argue that, too.
But, like, he's not, like, a different person, you know?
No,
because
right.
It could be just that
and
mask.
And also comes out, like, later.
So quick.
So quick. Yes, okay. So, basically, long story short... Again, more, like, big climax in this part of the book is all of a sudden Sejanus is, like, called, and they're, like, he's being hung for treason. And so Dr. Gall obviously listened to the recordings, but it's, like, I don't think that he thought he would get killed and hung. Like, he says, like, oh,
you didn't
they'll
think
send...
Snow?
Yeah, like,
I didn't think that they would hang him?
Like, Snow even says, he's, like, oh, good, I hope Gall listens to this. They send him back to the district, his dad will pay them off, and, like, he'll be out of my way and out of my hair. Like, I'm so sick of worrying about this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that he wanted him to die. He wanted him out of the way. Like, get away from me and my problems. But when he finds out that he's gonna get hung, he's like, oh my god.
But, like, is he that daft that he doesn't think that that's what's gonna happen?
I think
he knows
again,
how cutthroat Dr. Gall is. Look what he did to his classmates.
At the same time, I think he thinks, again... Money solves everything. So he's like, oh, obviously Sejanus's dad will just, like, pay someone off. He'll buy a new gymnasium. We'll be good to go. Like, he really thinks that way. He thinks, like, money and power is the end-all be-all.
Hmm.
Like, there's no real consequences. I think this is the first time that he's like, oh, fuck. Like, it doesn't really matter to him because he's like, either way, he's still out of my way.
Yeah.
And, like, out of my hair. And he's not causing me problems anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time...
Yeah, but even when they do hang Sejanus... And he talks about how, like, oh, I'm gonna send his personal items to his parents. Like,
it's very calculated still.
Yeah, because, and they'll be, like, so, like, happy, and they might welcome me into their house, or they'll, whatever, and, I mean, it does happen.
It does. That's what I'm saying, but, like, he spins it in such a way, like, his internal dialogue is, like...
The internal dialogue is what we get
he's
to.
Like, maybe, maybe not. Like, he's, like, very, like, you're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does do it because it's, like, a nice thing to do, but he's, like, oh, this might benefit me, but he's not, like, super calculated where he's, like, if I do A plus B, it equals C. He's very much, like, I could try A and B, and it might equal C. Like, he doesn't, like, he's not, like, overly calculated in the sense that, like, well, this is what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
He's kind of, like, just, like, this could work for me. Like...
Maybe he's just, like, a really good manifester.
He's not, like, a mastermind, I guess. Yeah, like, right. Like, he's not, like, a mastermind. Like, this is exactly
what's gonna happen. He's a witch!
Right. He's more of, like, I'm gonna try all this shit for my benefit and hope it shakes out that way.
Yeah.
So... Okay, so Sejanus gets hung. Again, he's upset, but also at the same time, like, it kind of gave me what I wanted regardless. Like,
yeah.
I, you know, he's out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not causing problems anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had killed someone in the arena.
Yes.
Which we know. Mm-hmm. He had killed the mayor's daughter.
Yeah.
So now, in theory, Lucy Gray knows these two and thinks he's only killed two people.
Mm-hmm.
So now... The two of them are going to run away together because he's like, oh my god, they're going to find the gun that I used to kill the mayor's daughter, like, and he's going to do it.
Yeah, but also, too, before he even goes to Lucy Gray, he gets called and they're like, yeah, they're going to promote you.
Right.
And he's like...
But that's, like, in the middle of his plans of running away.
Yeah, so, I mean, the end goal was always for them to run away.
Right.
But when it actually comes to fruition...
Well, so they... The night before he runs away, they're like, you're being promoted. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you're being promoted. And he's like, that's really shitty timing. Mm-hmm. That would shake out really well for me, but I still gotta run away because they're gonna find the guns.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Like, they'll kill me in the officer school anyways. Yeah. Like, I gotta get away from here.
But he tells them, I'm so excited to start.
Of course. Because, like, you can't, like...
Leaves the door open.
You can't tell him that you're running away, you know?
No.
So, he literally...
But he could have denied and be like, no, okay, I'm happy here.
I think that would have, like, almost tipped him off.
Yeah, that's true.
He's, like, being, like, a quote-unquote rebel at this point.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, like, thanks, this is really shitty, because I kind of would have wanted this, but, like, again, he's like, this still won't work out good for me, I'm still gonna get killed, whatever.
Yeah, and he always references back to that.
Yeah, like, he's like, they're gonna find out.
Yeah.
Whatever. So now... Again, I think the beauty of putting that the day before he runs away was like, oh, I would want to do that, but I can't because of, like, what I've done. Like, I'm still at a high risk of getting caught.
Yeah.
All this stuff. So now him and Lucy Gray run away together. They get to that little cabin. They had gone...
The cabin
this,
in the like, woods.
Yeah, they had gone to this little lake with all of them. They went fishing and swimming the one day, and there's a little cabin... So they start off their, like, venture into the woods by going there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they get there, they find the guns that were used to kill the mayor's daughter or whatever. So now they're accounted for, and he knows, like, no one's going to find these.
Yeah.
So now all the possibilities are back open to him. He's not backed into a corner.
Yeah.
And that's where he loses his fucking mind.
Yeah, immediately just, like, snaps.
And that's what's scary. The scary part is how quick.
Yeah, because he was just like, yeah, like, I just, like, imagined, like, him and Lucy Gray, like, frolicking through the woods, like, holding hands, skipping, like, so excited to go beyond the borders and start their life anew. And then all of a sudden, you know, let's take a stop at this cabin and hang out for a little bit.
And they were fine.
And then, yeah. And she was like, wait, what did she say? She was gonna go do something.
Like, get berries for them or whatever.
Yeah, so, like, but he makes that comment about how he's killed three people.
This summer.
This summer.
Literally was like, who? And he was like, what do you, corny motherfucker. He was like, myself. I've also died this summer. Like, I was like, and so Lucy Gray is smart. Like, she's arguably not an idiot.
Yeah.
She connects that it was Sejanus.
Yeah.
And that's his best friend.
Because she's upset, too. Like, she knows they hung him.
Right. And she was upset during it.
Yeah.
And so she connects it and is like, I'm gonna go to some berries. Again, plays it off. And then, like, disappears.
Mad nonchalant.
Yeah, disappears. And he, again, loses his mind and starts hunting her.
Yeah, he hunts her with the guns that were... He's like, Lucy Gray, like, he's calling her name.
Because
he set off the gun, like, he's going circles in the woods.
Trying to kill her. And he's also saying to himself, well, she knows that she's the last person who knows about these guns.
So
and these are the last things stopping me from, like, excelling in the future.
Yeah.
And so she must think or worry that I'm going to, like, kill her as well.
Mm-hmm. So I must therefore then kill her.
And, like, I don't think she was wrong.
No. No, no. Get out of there. As fast as you can.
But he... And he does. He proves her right. Which is crazy. Like, because she sees this in him, I guess.
But just in that one... Like, in that one thing.
It was so quick.
Because the whole other time, I would say that she's, you know... She really liked him, I think. And yeah. I think her feelings
but
towards him were
genuine.
But she did
fear for his life. She feared for her life with him. In that moment.
In that moment, yes.
Right. And that's... like, again, but she must have seen something in him.
But, like, good for her that she left.
But I'm also, like, were his actions of trying to shoot her because she left? Like, if she had stayed and was, like, would he have also had that thought of, like, she's the last thing in my way with these guns, I have to kill her? Or I think because she ran away, he got, like, pissed. Like, which one is it, the chicken or the egg?
I don't know. Because he does say in the book, like, he was like, oh, like, I can't, like, I can just, like, I'll pretend for now, and then, like, I'll tell her, actually, I don't know, I'm having reservations, she'll understand, and I'll be able to go back, and
yeah,
she can
he
go
wasn't
with her
originally,
life.
Yes, he wasn't originally going to kill her. He was like, I'm obviously going to go back and go take the officer job.
But I think
she'll be upset. Yeah. But then when she ran away, I think it really...
He got paranoid because I think he thought that maybe she was going to run to go tell, like, on him or something.
Yes.
And then his autonomy was threatened.
And then he freaked out and started shooting.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you'd also do that in that moment. Maybe I would.
I don't know, though. That's what I'm saying. And that's where this book is so fucking tricky because it's like, you can't excuse either one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. She ran away. He got paranoid.
Yeah.
It's like, that should still not be your gut.
Yeah. Like, you shouldn't go chasing after her with a gun.
And shooting. Like, she made a whistle and he's, like, shooting the direction of it. Like, that's sick.
Yeah. And he's literally spinning in circles. Doesn't he, like, fall to the ground? He writes or something like that?
Dude, it's, like, he's, I don't know. He's something special. This man.
And then he vilifies her.
Yeah. Because, again, it's, like, nothing can be against, like, nothing is his fault.
Bro.
You know, like...
Lucy Gray was no lamb. She was not made of sugar. She was a victor.
Right, like, making her be, like, freaking out. Pull my book down. Yeah. Insane.
Yeah.
But again, almost that self-preservation of, like, of course I'm mad at her because she's manipulative.
Yeah.
Because she's calculated.
Yeah, and he literally tells himself, put down the gun. But his hands refuse to cooperate.
Yeah, like, I think there's something wrong internally. You know what I'm saying?
The hardwiring is fucked up.
So then, doesn't he, like, dump the guns in the lake? Like, so he can't find her. Like, that's it. He can't find her.
Yeah. He is like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And he thinks that Lucy Gary tried to kill him.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I think his
oh, yeah, because there's a snake. Because he runs into the snake, and he was like, oh my god, Lucy Gray planted the snake to kill me.
I don't think that she didn't.
Yeah, I didn't rule that out either.
Like, I don't think she planted the snake, but she knew there were snakes in that area, and so she, like, made him go to that area. But I think her genuine reasoning was she was fearful for her life, which, with good reason.
And I think she knew, obviously, if she's, Covey, whatever, and she's in the woods, like, that's her life. She's gonna know if those snakes are poisonous.
Right. I think...
So I don't think she was trying to kill him.
I think for her, she was genuinely fearful for her life and was trying to, like, you know, have a snake bite him, have this, have that. He's saying, like, oh, you know, I'm fearful for what she'll do, X, Y, Z, whereas I feel like...
I can't trust her.
His is always, like, an excuse. Like, he does it to, like, self-preserve.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm gonna blame her. I'm gonna blame Sejanus. I'm gonna blame everyone else, not myself.
Yeah.
I think he makes, like, cop-outs for himself, whereas I think her thing was genuine. Like, she genuinely was scared of him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets bit by a snake. It's not poisonous, but he, like, runs back thinking he's dying.
Yeah, and then
he dumps the guns, too. He's like, oh, problem solved.
Mm-hmm. And then he, like, says he, like, gets delirious and he, like, passes out or something.
He's kind of a panic attack.
Yeah, exactly. Well... Look at his internal dialogue. I mean, like, I was reading that, and my heart rate was, like, up 160, 170.
Also,
I was like, I can't breathe.
It must be hard to be, like, to think that way all the time. Like, he must be tired. Like, this guy's internal dialogue is exhausting.
This guy needs Zoloft.
Oh, my God. Brutal. So he gets back. They, like, treat him. The snake bite is not poisonous.
They're like, oh, well, you're fine.
And they're like, okay, you can, like, he's like, okay, I'm going to officer school. Because...
And then just leaves.
The amount of time that passed from, like, the night before being told he's going to be going to officer school, and they're like, you have the morning off, like, go say goodbye to everyone. The whole, like, Lucy Gray gun shooting, snake biting, he's, like, home by noon. Like, his friends aren't even up yet. They're sleeping.
Yep.
So he's gone through this, like, huge character arc and shift.
But I would also argue that they weren't that far out. Like, they were probably only, like, an hour out. You know, I think it all happens just so quick.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, this whole big thing happens in, like...
within an hour.
And I think she makes a point to say, like, that his bunkmates are still sleeping because...
Yeah, but she also mentioned that they were probably, like, hungover.
But still, like, they're not even conscious.
Yeah. And they have no idea. Then he just, like, leaves.
Yes.
He doesn't even say bye to them.
No. So he leaves, he goes to officer school...
Oh my god, the ending though.
Yes.
Okay, so I will say that I remember when I first read the book last year, I think, when I read it, that I just felt like the whole time that I was reading this book after in this part three, I'm like, I don't know. Like, obviously we know he becomes president and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
but I was just like, it's just, I so interested to see how it was gonna happen.
Yes.
And I knew it was somehow going to involve Professor Gull.
Yes.
And lo and behold,
yes.
He shows up to the train station and...
Well, he goes on the hovercraft and they're like, he thinks he's going to officer school.
Oh, yeah.
And he's then they in the hovercraft. Go to the Capitol.
Yeah, they go straight to the Capitol. Yes, yes. And he's like, what the fuck? And they're like, oh, you're to go see Professor Gull. And he's like, what?
He definitely thinks he's about to be killed.
Yeah, for sure. And then she was like, oh, you think I would like waste your talent?
Right.
And I was like, fuck. Like, she's sick and demented, and she recognizes that in him.
Yes. Because then she's like, oh, you're gonna start the university tomorrow, mm-hmm. and you're, like, gonna be, like, a game maker in mm-hmm. training. Like, yeah. Because she's head game maker. Right now, there's not, like, a big, you know, council, like, how there is in the main yeah. trilogy. Like, it's kind of just her.
Now, yeah, because it's still the beginning.
Right.
It's only 10,
she takes right? him under her wing.
This is the 10th Hunger
yeah.
Games? Yeah.
Well, and they reference it. I don't know if they have Where You Are in Sunrise yet,
mm-hmm.
But they reference, like, oh, the 10th Hunger Games is when everything, like, made a turn, like, what they are today.
Mm.
Like, so this is really, like, he made them what they are today, like, because of him.
Oh.
But, like, she, like, yeah, she takes them under her wing, and this is now, like, this is it for him. Like,
yeah.
Here we go. And this is, like, again, the kind of... slow introduction, like, we could see how he is who he is in the main trilogy.
Yeah, if Dr. Gull, Professor right. Gull, was the one who was his mentor.
Yeah, and he's chilling. He's gonna become an officer, he's gonna be respected, he's going to university. Like, this worked out better than he thought.
Literally. And how the book ends, Snow lands on top. I was like, damn.
Bam. And it does.
It does.
It does. So I feel like this was a great... introduction into, obviously, his origin story, why he is the way he is, all these things.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, Hallie, like we had mentioned last episode, Hallie is reading this book, and then the main trilogy,
mm-hmm.
and then Sunrise.
Yeah.
But we are covering Sunrise next, so she's still, like, halfway through that, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's going to be a lot of things in that where I think it's even, like, a nice, like, middle ground where we have his origin, we have the main trilogy, but now when we're at the 50th Hunger Games and it's, like, Haymitch, mm-hmm. and President Snow is, like, middle-aged,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, you're like, oh, this is even making even more sense.
Yeah.
Which is fun and interesting.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So then he's, like, in his 70s during the trilogy, right?
I would say, yeah. I think he's, like...
it's, like, the
I think they say specific ages in Sunrise. I forget.
Because Catching...
he's, like, 60... Well, hold on.
Because Catching Fire is the Quarter Quell, which is 75.
Right. So, he was 18 in the main book. That was mm-hmm. 10.
I think they said he was, like, 58.
Plus 40. Yeah, he's 58.
Right.
So, then plus another 25. So, in the main trilogy, damn, bitch, he's, like, 83.
Damn.
But, yeah, he was 58 in Sunrise.
Wow.
Interesting.
Damn. So, yeah, he's like, yeah, I got
he's
a lot of
things. He's old as fuck in the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Shit.
Which, he doesn't look that old in the movie.
No. But like, I guess that makes sense, because doesn't he, I mean, not that it's like a spoiler, but he dies in the end, right? Like, just like, Not like
President
naturally.
Snow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like 83 makes sense then. Like, to be just dying.
I guess. Yeah, that's true.
Evil keeps this man alive. Anyways.
Mostly plus ones always live forever.
Right. But yeah, so, I don't know. I think this was a great origin story. Like, honestly, like, 10 out of 10, one of the best ones I've read. Good. Especially to write it after the fact. Like, it was so well thought out, mm-hmm. and, like, it made sense for so many things.
Yeah. I wonder how, like, I wonder if she, like, always had this thought, like, this book, like, in her head.
I agree.
Or even, like, maybe, like, the beginning, like, a novella version of it or something. Like, so obviously that's, you know, detailed.
Right.
But I wonder if this, like, idea was, like, newly sparked, or when she wrote The Hunger Games, she was like, I'll also want to tell his story.
Because sometimes authors do have almost, like, the character layout of, like, what's their origin to, like, get into, like, that headspace.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I almost want to say probably because this was just too good. Like, it made too much sense to, like, go back and do it.
Yeah.
So, I gave this book 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I first read it, I gave it 3. I don't think I appreciated it for as much as, like, what it was.
Yeah, I have a feeling that I also did the same thing as you.
Because I feel like it is a slow read.
Yeah.
It's not as exciting as The Hunger Games. But I feel like when you really go back and are reading it in that lens, you're like, goddamn. Like,
yeah, I definitely for sure did not appreciate it the first time around because I just wasn't, like, in that Hunger Games headspace.
Right, and I think,
like, and I hadn't read The Hunger Games, like, 10 years prior to that, you know?
Well,
so,
also, when you read the first series, and it's, like, all this, like, high-tech, exciting, you know, glamour of the capital, and then you have, like, this, like, barbaric, boring thing, it's almost, like,
this
not
is true.
As exciting.
Yeah.
But I think now, to, like, really read it as an origin, like, respect it, I'm like, that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
This book got me hype-fucking-city for, like, the next books.
Interesting.
Which we're gonna talk about. Obviously, next episode, we'll talk more about how, like, we're reading it differently and how we're viewing that.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, things like that. But this definitely got me, like, back in.
Yeah.
I was thrilled. I couldn't be happier.
Seriously. Thank God. And,
thank
God. We needed this after Fearless.
Yes. Jesus. Yes, we did. It was brutal.
We needed something to, like, revive us.
Yeah. We really did. Because, yeah, I don't know. I think, again, this is just showing me, like, what a good author can do. And, again, even being young adult.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to have sex in your books to be successful.
Well, again, young adult doesn't equate bad writing.
Exactly. And that's what it comes down to. That's what we talked about before.
Yeah, all the time. And this is a perfect example of that. This is a great book. I also think these books have aged well. When you read them again as an adult, they're still just as good.
Yeah. And the writing even isn't bad either.
Right.
Like, for The Hunger Games, like, reading them now, I was like,
it ages well.
It's fine.
It stands the test of time.
Mm.
It was great as a child, young adult.
Yeah.
They're great as adults, and, like, there's even more undertones you understand more as an adult.
Yeah.
That's, like, good writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. 10 out of 10. Thank you.
And that's it, everybody.
That's what you should aspire to do. So next episode we'll be recording for Sunrise on the Reaping. Again, we'll talk more next episode about how we read it differently, whatever, but we're going to be covering the first part of that book next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll chat then, which I'm excited. This is our first read for that book, obviously.
Yeah.
We knew nothing about it, so
it's
going to be a good one.
So exciting.
All right,
well, we'll catch you guys there, and
we're ready. We're excited.
Yeah. Be pumped.
We're pumped, thank God, finally.
Might not look pumped, but I'm pumped.
We'll see you guys next time.
On Literal Nonsense Podcast.
There you go. Bye.
Bye.